Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Terps won at home on Sunday, 69-66 over Nebraska. They are back in action Thursday night at Illinois. It's a 9 o'clock tip. Pregame coverage at 8 o'clock right here on 105.7 The Fan. And let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Chris Nocke, he'll be on the call with Johnny Holiday on Thursday, and he joins us now. And Chris, thanks as always for joining us. We do appreciate your time. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again, it's better to win ugly than lose pretty. But other than the fact that you won, what were your main takeaways from the win over Nebraska?
Well, Ken, thanks for having me on. You know what, man, at this point in time, never apologize for a win.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you take it and you run. You know, sort of mind-boggling, you know, they're in all these close games all the time, and yet they don't appear to be learning some of the lessons from those close games. Until, you know, like, they're up 9 with against Nebraska, and it's closeout time, you know, and I thought they got passive offensively at the time. And of course, Nebraska won at Creighton. You know, they're not a bad team. They got some players, and they kept playing and made it interesting there at the end. And so I think, you know, their stretch is a really good basketball that Maryland plays. It just situationally, they just need to be so much better and sharper, and that's a big part of what I'm seeing.
There's obviously quite a spotlight on Derek Queen and his struggles, which freshmen are going to struggle, and there's going to be ups and downs, right, and inconsistency, and we all know that. But I'm starting to wonder if when they're run and gun and he is playing free, and that's like when the vision and the footwork and all the things where he is advanced, I think, work for him. And am I crazy to think when they're playing these Big Ten style games and the other team is beating on them a little bit and it's a half court game, that that's where the youth shows up, and that's where and maybe he's thinking too much and he's trying too hard, and that's where we're seeing him get exposed a little bit?
I mean, that could be it. But there's a lot to unpack there. And I tell you, one of the things you have to note is, for instance, the other night, Nebraska was playing, you know, fifth-year seniors, guys who've been around the block a little bit. The one kid who lit us up in the first half, I think his last name was Morgan, you know, he scored his 1,000th point. So he's he did it all at Power 5 schools. So, you know, these are pretty good, older, more mature guys. You know, they're anxious to teach the young bucks a few tricks. You know, that's a part of the makeup as well. I'm going to disagree with the first part.
Okay.
It's just because, like, to me, when he gets out and he's trying to handle the ball on the break, like, he had two critical charge calls against Northwestern. The first one was critical because it led to him being on the bench for a lot of that first half. He had the two fouls. The second one simply came at a critical part of the game in the second half. And so I just think he's going to have to deal with that. The nature of this sport, and the nature of this sport in this conference in particular, is that down the stretch of close games, it's possession basketball. People don't let you get out get out on the break and just play freewheeling. That's just not the makeup of the coaches or the teams in this league. So I just think it's incumbent upon him to get better, to play with more urgency, to You know, he's got all the every skill set known to mankind, right? I mean, he can shoot it face up. He's got tremendous hands and feet. It's just there appears to be a disconnect between that skill set and the sort of want to that you need to play with at this level of basketball.
So, Chris, this isn't, and we're still pretty early on in conference play, but it's thrown around. This isn't a situation where you see him hitting a freshman wall at all.
I don't think so. I mean, to me, freshman wall, imaginary as it is a February thing. If it does happen, mm-hmm. I don't see it at all for him. You know, he's a guy who has been playing basketball every single day for years and years and years. I just don't see it hitting him like this. He's just got to learn the lessons. He's got to watch tape, watch what he's doing, watch what other people are doing against him. If he's not doing it by himself, you know, there should be an assistant, maybe two sitting down with him, going step by step. You know, here's what I'm seeing, here's what you need to be looking for, and here's where we can get better. Here's where we solve some of these problems. Nebraska, for instance, plays a very unique post defense. They drop three guys into the paint, regardless of who catches the ball in the post. They are determined that you beat them shooting jump shots, and they do a really good job with that. And two or three times, Derek caught the ball on the block and turned and acted surprised that a double team was coming. You know, that's the preparation in that situation. You know the double team is coming. In fact, if you know the double team is coming, you've probably got a pretty good idea of where you should skip that pass to. It's all sort of the mental preps and the mental reps that it takes to be successful.
We're talking to Chris Nockey here on 105.7 The Fan. You can hear him on the call of Terps at Illinois right here on this network at 9 o'clock on Thursday. So let's take it one step further. Whether he's hitting a wall or not, he's been wildly inconsistent. But how tricky of a wicket is this for a coaching staff? Like, at times it seems like Geronimo, right, above the rim, rebounding, energy. Maybe you want a little more of that. And maybe less is more with this young man. But if he's not going to be a lottery pick, and again, I don't know, right? I don't have a crystal ball. But like, you're constantly, this day and age, having to re-recruit, and you're recruiting these kids every day to try to have them as long as you can. Like, how do you manage the short term versus the long term versus all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a needle. It's hard to thread that needle, right? I mean, you've got a lot of competing issues there and things that you've got to take into consideration. The talent is so worth the wait. You do have options on the bench. Gapari mm-hmm. has played some good minutes this year. Geronimo was really good against Nebraska, and I thought he was a difference, actually, right, considering the last 4 minutes of the first half and then the last 4 minutes of the game. Just did an excellent job. So you do have some options. You don't have to wait forever, but I think the talent is worth seeing what he's got on any given night and, you know, trying to light a fire underneath him. And again, you know, to your point, here's the deal, too. You can't go Bobby Knight on kids anymore. They'll transfer at the middle of the semester. You know, I saw where Iowa signed a guy who transferred out of Miami today. Now, Miami's a bit of a dumpster fire with Larry Nagel leaving. So I always worry that this is sort of this is the ultimate sign that we've got it ass backwards, where you get guys transferring at semester break. You know, it's crazy. So, you got to be really delicate about the way you deal with this. No question.
Chris Gillespie, since the Washington game, has been much better, double figures in every game, and then he kind of took over the game against Nebraska and did similar against UCLA. The Northwestern game was weird, though. He did hit the two layups, one to send overtime, and it looked like the second one was going to send us double overtime. I assume you prefer the more aggressive Jacoby Gillespie.
I do, and one of the reasons why I prefer it, Ken, is the fact that he shoots 90% from the free throw line. So when he gets to the line, those are pretty automatic points. I think he's come a long way. That Washington game, clearly an anomaly, you know, looking at it in the rearview mirror. He's had a really excellent year, probably far better, I think, than most people would have thought from him coming in from Belmont. He's been very, very good, and you know, the guards the other night saved their bacon between he and Rodney Rice and Selton Miguel. Again, that's because of that Nebraska defense. They're bound and determined to make perimeter players be the difference, and fortunately those guys were.
Chris, this stretch that the Terps are about to enter, 3 of 4 on the road. I know that there's a lot of basketball left to be played, but do you think this could be a season-defining stretch for this group, knowing the struggles on the road?
You know, I hate to do this because I try never to do the cliche speak and the coach speak, but I'm of a mind in this day and age, particularly because there's so much about these teams I don't even know anymore. We're going into Illinois. I know they're good. I've watched them play 3 or 4 times. They got a bunch of new faces from what we saw last year. I play it. Why do one game at a time? And that's the best I can do. I don't look at stretches. The one stretch I will plead guilty because there are times when I think, Jesus, when are we going to be home again? And we do get 4 or 5 on at home in late February. So I will certainly look forward to that. But, you know, it's more of a survival thing. You want to survive on the road, take a win or two where you can, when you can. And but really, I mean, my focus, and I would be if I were coaching, playing, or doing whatever, is really on Illinois, what they bring to the table. And it's a great environment. It's a lot of fun to play there. And the Terps have had some success there. We've actually played pretty well in Illinois over the years.
I want to get back to Gillespie for a second. Watching this thing evolve, he's so great coming off screens and slinging the ball from three-point land, and that's been big for them. But in some of these games and in these close and late situations where they've struggled, I find myself screaming at the TV, beat him off the dribble, like penetrate, like get these guys in foul trouble. I feel like maybe he's caught in betwixt and in between, especially if it's a night where Rice hasn't taken that many shots and Miguel's not hitting as many. Am I crazy to be looking at some of these situations recently saying, man, I want him to attack the rim more?
No, I tell you what, I will. In the last 4 minutes when they got really stagnant against Nebraska, I kept saying, you have to attack the basket here. You have to attack the basket, force the referees to make a call. You know, they got passive, just sort of spread the ball around on the perimeter, and they ended up, you know, trying to take opportunities really late in the shot clock. Now, I will tell you this, that in defense of Kobe, and not that he needs my defense at all, because, again, he's had
a very
good year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a very good player. I just think, you know, with Julian Reese and Derek Queen on the floor, the paint gets pretty crowded. Mm. And, you know, with those two guys and also the attention those guys receive, I do love it when he puts his head down and gets into the paint and makes everybody better. But sometimes that option's just not quite there for him. He has been their best player. You know, he and Julian has had a stretch of good basketball as well, but for the most part, it's been his show. He's done a nice job with it.
Terps at Illinois Thursday at 9. Pregame coverage begins at 8 here on 105.7 The Fan. Chris Nocke will be on the call with Johnny Holiday. Chris, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Stay warm, boys.
Thank you, sir. Hey, coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI, TAM, what you got?
Did a TMI a couple weeks ago leading into the Steelers wild card game, looking at the offense, looking at the defense, and the numbers defensively in the playoffs with Lamar starting at quarterback are great in pretty much every area besides forcing turnovers. Did a deeper dive into it this morning, and also looking back to turnovers forced at the beginning of John Harbaugh's coaching run in Baltimore. We'll get into it next on The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Heading into the playoffs, we looked at the offense's shortcomings prior to this run with Lamar Jackson as starting quarterback. We also looked at the defense really stepping up despite the offense not joining the party for the majority of those games. And the defense was able to build on a lot of what they did. The 7-game average heading into this run, it was 18.8 points per game. 2 defensive touchdowns are scored against them as well. Giving up 167.3 yards passing allowed per game. They held Josh Allen under that total. 248.3 yards allowed per game. I mean, all the first 2 games, they continued to add to the total. Unfortunately, an area in which they did not was they forced just 3 turnovers in these 9 playoff games. And one of those turnovers that they forced was the Bengals game in which Tyler Huntley started. So Ravens in the 8 Lamar Jackson playoff games, 14 turnovers compared to 2 takeaways. They have not won the turnover battle in any of those games.
So he never benefits from a short field, and the other team does quite a lot.
Yes.
And sometimes those turnovers are his fault, but a lot of time they're not. But he's the problem. Okay.
Yeah. Well, half of Lamar's playoff games have ended with 3 turnovers, which is more than the Ravens have forced in that 8-game stretch. And I understand this is not an apples-to-oranges comparison, but for you-know-whats and giggles, I went back, looked at the playoff games from Harbaugh's first year, 2008 through 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it. Ed Reed, Ray, Suggs, all those guys in their prime. I understand. 15 playoff games played in that span. They forced 42 turnovers. 42. You're talking about almost 3 per playoff game where they have yet to force 3 turnovers. So I went back to just 2012. So that's Ed at the end, Ray at the end, Suggs coming off the blown Achilles. So it's not exactly the same. You look at the 4 games there, and the Ravens forced 7 turnovers in those 4 games. They won the turnover battle in 3 of those 4 postseason games. It was an even turnover margin against the Colts. By the way, Ravens won the turnover battle 10 of the 15 playoff games overall in that span. But it's when those turnovers took place. You can look back at the Mile High Miracle game. Corey Graham had a pick 6. Corey Graham had a
Two picks in the game.
Exactly. Had an interception in overtime. So this defense has done a great job, and it's tough nitpicking when they're not giving up a ton of points, this Bills game aside, not giving up a ton of yards, but you got to force a turnover every now and then. You got to do something. And that's,
all the games matter. Every game matters that's played from week 1 on.
Mm-hmm.
This defense was horse bleep against the pass. Literally D-minus F-plus type defense for 10 weeks that count in the standings. That affected the standings that ultimately dictate where you finish in the playoff race and what kind of seeding you get. And then they got it better, but it still wasn't a big play defense. We weren't saying, look at all the playmakers on this defense. Other than Marlon, we weren't saying that about anybody.
But what's bizarre about that, Jason, I'm with you on all of that. Last year, they forced the most takeaways in football. They didn't force a takeaway
but they didn't
in the
do,
playoffs.
But they didn't do it in the playoffs.
That's my
and that
point.
Defense
exactly.
is not going to be That's, thought of like the Ray that, Lewis defenses, no. even though they did something that Ray that, and Sizzle
exactly.
and Ed Reed never did.
Exactly. That's my point, where there's some years in this stretch where the Ravens are at or near the tops in takeaways, but they're not getting any in January.
Even if you if they turned it over three times in this game, but got one the other way, they might have won the game.
As
and,
sure.
and I'm saying that, acknowledging that there's no way you should lose holding Josh Allen to 147 total yards in his backyard. Turnovers or not, you shouldn't lose that game. And they did a lot of things, 4.6 yards per play, well enough to win. But that's where I go back to, is this a master's level defense or is this a 101 or 201 or 301 level defense? And it needs to get back to being a master's level defense. And I think the coaching staff needs to change. Like, I think they need to mix some things up there because too many potential playmakers were not playmakers this year, regular season and playoffs. And you're not turning over the whole roster. So you better change something in your coaching staff.
To your point, I was thinking about this morning. There are three things that happened in that game, and all three together they couldn't overcome. That's the turnovers, the drops, and the PI at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
If you pull one of those things out, I think they still win the football game. Like if they don't turn the ball over three, obviously that's huge. But if they simply catch the ball, or if they don't call that PI and the Bills have to get the field goal instead of the touchdown, I think the Ravens still win the football game. But you can't overcome all three.
No. They can't. And I don't know how you fix, to Bone's point, this nasty sort of double-edged sort of we turn it over more in the regular season. I'm sorry, more in the playoffs than the regular season. And we
don't get any.
We get a decent amount. Some years a whole lot in the regular season, and we get none in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you flip that switch. But I don't think running back the entire coaching staff and just saying another year of this fixes it is good enough.
Again, in eight games that Lamar started at QB in the playoffs, 14 turnovers offensively, two takeaways defensively.
That's ridiculous. Hey, coming up next, what does Cynthia Freeland think of that Ravens-Bills game and the rest of the NFL playoffs? Last bad weekend for Cynthia. Ravens lost and the Lions lost. Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network joins us next here on The Fan. Yes, the Ravens won't be there, but the Super Bowl will still happen in New Orleans in a few weeks. And joining us now to talk some football, she joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. And Cynthia, thank you as always for your time. We do appreciate it. Ravens Sunday night in Buffalo, once again, they just beat themselves? Is that what you saw?
I mean, I saw uncharacteristic things, and beating yourself is one way to describe it, but the other way would be, you know, sometimes you don't end up on the right side of mistakes, right? And when you're this far along in the playoffs, you really do have to play a very nearly flawless game and not turn the ball over to really forecast for win.
Cynthia, we were just talking about this prior to the break, where this Ravens team, traditionally under Lamar Jackson, they do a great job of not turning the ball over. And the Ravens defense last year, number one in takeaways. This year, we saw some regression. In the eight playoff games that Lamar has started, they have turned the ball over 14 times and have just two takeaways. It's hard to explain how that happens.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine, right? Because it's not like the people are different, and of course the stakes are higher. But you know, I think again, like it's very hard to, you know, if something were easily fixable, if we could, as outsiders or as, you know, them as insiders, figure it out, they could ultimately do it. But we can't. You know, like obviously they would fix it if it was something that was easy to do.
It's hard to quibble with the offense when they average 7.3 yards per play and they go on the road and play in ice and snow and never punt. However, Derrick Henry clearly was slow going. You know, Derrick Henry never affected this game the way a lot of us thought he might. And Cynthia, it surprised me. Maybe not you, but it surprised me. Okay, if Buffalo's going to go 4-3 and Buffalo's going to run blitz early downs and Buffalo's going to sell out to take away Derrick Henry, then I thought one of two things would have happened. A whole lot of design runs for Lamar Jackson with Justice Hill playing option football and exploiting those guys. If you're going to blitz and play man, then we're going to get our two shifty guys together and see if you can handle them on the outside. Or I would have told you, the 15 times that they went 6-0 line against Pittsburgh, they did it 20 times against Buffalo, and they systematically road graded them. They did it one time outside of goal-to-go situations, and that was Derrick Henry's 17-yard sprint, where if he doesn't stumble, he might have ran all the way to Lake Erie. I can't figure that part of this equation out.
I mean, that was, to me, this whole thing came down to kind of who's going to execute jumbo better. Obviously, the Ravens don't do it very often, but it had been like a, you know, a magic bullet every time they did, so that's why I was curious. You know, the Bills do it a lot more often, but and they often threw out of it. They still throw out of it. But I'm looking at that, and I'm curious why. I don't know why. I mean, you'd have to ask someone who was responsible for calling the plays. But,
sure.
You know, it just it doesn't seem it's confusing.
So you're with me that these adjustments were either late to happen or, frankly, didn't really happen at all.
Yeah, I don't know what they were seeing that would lead them to believe that wasn't a better way to do things. I it's just so wild because, you know, obviously we can go back as outsiders and, you know, we see things the way we see it. But, like, I don't know, maybe they thought because, you know, Taylor Rapp was not going to play, I don't know, like Christian Benford concussion, like, I don't know. Like, I think going back, I'm sure they would play a few things differently if they could.
Talking with Cynthia Freelance, Inside Access here on The Fan, how do you explain the Mark Andrews of it all? Not only does he have the drop at the end of the game, he had a drop early, which would have given him second and two from the 20. The very next play was the Lamar Jackson fumble. He had a fumble of his own. Just your thoughts on Mark Andrews.
The ball is very cold and heavy in that situation. Things can go. He had an off day. You wouldn't be in the position that you were without him. You know, the team wouldn't be as far along as they were if he hadn't played the way he had all season long. Everybody has a bad day. It's not satisfying. It's not, it doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't make you happy. But I think, you know, you got to kind of like chalk that up to you. If it was a regular season game, you're like, all right, got him the next one. You're totally fine. It just, it stinks when it happens, when you don't have the next game to kind of brush it off.
Well, Cynthia, let's go to another fun game, and that was your Lions hosting the Commanders in a tough one there.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'd rather lose as a fan. I'd rather lose this way where, it, you know, the whole game you were like, this is not going well, as opposed to last year where the first half, you know, I'm watching with tears in my eyes being like, holy smokes, and then just totally get your heart ripped out. So there's at least that. You know, in the NFC Championship game last year where the Niners came back and, you know, just beat them. So that was great. But, I mean, with this many people on IR, if, you know, the offense was playing perfectly and Jahmyr Gibbs, he wanted to win clearly. But when you throw that many interceptions and you turn the ball over that many times, you're just, you really don't have a lot of chance to do some good things, you know, truly.
Jaden Daniels, like, can he go to Philadelphia and keep this guy? I can't bet against this kid at this point. Like, can he continue slaying dragons?
You know, I think the good news for him is that I don't even think he, like, I don't know him. I haven't asked him, right? But, like, you know, I met him a couple times. But, like, I don't know if he knows how hard it is to do what he's done. And that might actually be a really big strength for him because I don't think, you know, he's that whole team feels like they're playing with house money. You know, they're just like having fun. They're, you don't see anything there where it feels like they're just trying everything. They're, you know, I think Cliff Kingsbury, I think one of the things he's done this year, you know, we talk about like, oh, can he win after in the second half of games? We saw him take a big step back. Well, the reality was it's this season, he's got the right quarterback for that. Meaning, of course, defenses would start to adjust to Jaden Daniels after about the halfway mark because he proved himself to be a really legit contender and not a trick guy, right? And then now teams are adjusting again, and that just shows you how great Jaden is. But I will say, I watched Cliff Kingsbury, and the smartest thing he's doing is copying things that worked against the competitors. So if they're going to beat the Eagles in the defense, it will be targeting the void that has been, you know, the void that has been left by injury with N'Kobe Dean. So if they can do that, then it's going to be interesting. But I think Cliff's so smart, just like being like, well, what worked against the Lions before? Got it. We're going to do that.
Cynthia, how worried are you about that Eagles offense? It doesn't look like Jalen Hurts was moving real well after that knee injury early in the game. We talked earlier. We feel like if it didn't snow, the Rams end up beating the Eagles. Are you concerned about the Eagles offense? It kind of looks broken. Obviously, Saquon looks great, but the passing game.
Yeah. If anything happened to Saquon, I would probably say that things would be not as easy. However, that O-line can make up for a lot of issues. And as much as I like what Washington's defense has been able to do in terms of getting better, they're still not the scariest defense in the league. They're not the scariest defense in the – they're not the scariest defense in this game. So I just tend to favor O-lines and defenses as a forecast for strength, because that usually works out in the playoffs. But I'm not sitting here thinking that, you know, I think that the line could be a little – It's kind of, it feels generous to be giving the Eagles 6 points. I think something more like 4 would be more like, now that's interesting. That's intriguing.
Let's finish with the AFC Championship. Do the Chiefs get back to the Super Bowl, Cynthia?
You know what? I like seeing a dynasty as much as anyone, but whatever. I don't think anyone but Kansas City Chiefs fans like to see dynasties, but whatever, or Patriots fans back in the day. But I do think they get back, and not because I think that the Bills can't beat them. They clearly have beaten them this season. But Christian Benford being in the concussion protocol, along with Taylor Rapp being potentially unavailable, it just feels like a pass defense that we thought was suspect before becomes even more suspect now. And I don't see how an increasingly healthy Kansas City team doesn't exploit. Like, you're giving me Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not full strength on defense or even close to full strength. It just feels like it's going to be hard for the Bills to overcome that, as good as Josh Allen has been playing.
It felt like in that game, if you got it over Milano's head and in the middle of the field against the Ravens, it was there for the taking whenever you wanted it.
Exactly.
Between the safeties. Yeah.
Yep. So, and now you have even more more depleted safety situation, potentially. Yeah. Not great. Again, anything can happen.
Sure.
I don't think this is a very close game. And, you know, obviously I don't think this, I think this is a very exciting game, but it's tricky for me to believe that, you know, the way we see, especially now that playoff Travis Kelce has returned, you know, this is the guy we're waiting for. It's just going to be hard given that if any of those safeties aren't playing.
Cynthia Freeland, always great. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Absolutely. And, you know, Ravens fans and Lions fans, we have a lot in common right now. Very, you know, depressed fan base. But the good news is it just means one more week for our teams to get a jump on these darn playoff teams who are still in it for next season.
Damn
there
right.
You go.
There's one way to spin it. Thanks.
I like it. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Nice. Hey, coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Have you gotten over it yet? How much are you still hurting about this game Sunday? Any thoughts now that you've mulled on it for a while? 410-583-1057. What about the future of Mark Andrews? Do you want to see him back in a Ravens uniform? Your thoughts next here on The Fan. Ravens lose 27-25, and we sit here and lay in it as the season is over. Bills are on to the AFC Championship game. We want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057, and let's head out to the phone line. Start with Howard in Baltimore. Howard, you're on The Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey there.
Real quick, the one thing I've not heard many or anybody speak about is the fact that we did not go into these playoffs as the number 2 seed when they really should have, and then they would have had a second home game. So the losses to the Browns, to the Raiders, and even that first loss to the Steelers, I think are the biggest factors in why we lost this game, or why they lost, and they had to play in Buffalo where it was ridiculously cold. They're not at home. They're in a place they're not familiar with, and they're in a, you know, it's a hostile environment. I mean, all these things add up to just something that they should not have had to have dealt with.
Appreciate the call. Jason, you did
brought
you
it up several
earlier.
Times, especially in regards to the defense and its failures for 10 weeks and getting beat by guys like Gardner Minshew and Jameis Winston. And those all count. And nobody's going to run the table, not even Kansas City, although they came close.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, fixing your defense a little bit in week 11, it certainly beats the alternative of not fixing it at all. But there were ramifications to that. Would they have, look, It was a bitterly cold night here, too.
Yes.
And it was, I mean, it wasn't
snowing here.
I mean, it wasn't like it was Bermuda here.
By the way, I wouldn't let my dad come over to watch the game because the weather was so bad here. So it's a home game. Let's be honest.
You'd much rather be at home. It's better for the offensive line. Yeah. You might get an extra call or two. Like, yes, you
they had 400 plus yards offense.
They had plenty of shots to be the two. They weren't. But either way, you lose a turnover battle 3-0. You can play it here, the moon, Kalamazoo, you're losing.
You start
Kalamazoo, maybe.
You start a season 0-2. Less than 10% of teams that start the season 0-2 make the playoffs. I mean, right there, getting off, you're digging yourself into a hole right when the season started.
Let's go back out to the phone lines, 410-583-1057. Nick's in Westminster. Nick, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey there.
Hey, I just wanted to call and talk about the receiving situation in Baltimore. I noticed a lot of people, you know, are sort of being prisoners of the moment and sort of saying, oh, get rid of Mark Andrews. And don't get me wrong, I think Isaiah Likely is good. But let's not forget, you know, I've seen Mark Andrews take over games before. And, you know, that's a guy that's sort of an X factor on the offensive end. You know, he's been to the Pro Bowl. He's done a lot for us. I don't think we should just give up on him for
Nick,
Likely.
Nick, can I ask you a question? Do you want to guess how many postseason touchdowns Mark Andrews has?
He has zero postseason touchdowns.
Yes.
But I will say, you know, Likely's good and all, but I'm not ready to rely on him as the number one option because I think part of the reason why Likely is making some of the plays he's making is because Mark Andrews is out there on the field.
Not last year.
You know, at the same time.
No, so. I appreciate the call. Last year, Andrews was hurt and unlikely blew up.
Yeah, I think Likely is clearly the more athletic option. And look, here's the bottom line. Are they going to pay two tight ends? And if so, would they extend Andrews? And if you're not extending Andrews, then you'd be in a situation of renting him for one more year. Is that what he wants? Does that work with Likely? Are you ready to pay Likely? Do you want to take some of the $11 million for Andrews and slide it over to Likely? Mm. Nothing happens in a vacuum. So, you know, we'll see what they do. I know what I would do. If I could get a four for Andrews, I'd trade him.
410-583-1057. JT's in Baltimore. You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just got two things, man. I'm tired of not dying on our own sword, man.
Yeah.
I just think Derrick Henry should have got the ball when we were in those goal line situations and on the 2-point conversions. I think if Lamar would have thrown a little bit better.
He's got to catch that ball, man.
Not on the 2-point, but on the long one to Bateman.
Oh.
If he let him a little bit more into the end zone, that probably could have been a touchdown, but I don't want to nitpick.
No. Okay.
The other thing I just wanted to say, it's probably the biggest indictment on Harbaugh, but this game reminded me of that 2020 game against the Patriots when they had Cam Newton and they were catching first downs on like 4-yard dig routes. They just protected the ball. They didn't make any mistakes, and they knew that we were going to beat ourselves. They knew that we were going to press, and I'm tired of seeing our team be more talented and just press when we're only down 7 or 10 points and we don't want to do what we know that we need to do.
Appreciate the call. I totally forgot about that COVID game up in New England. It was raining and the Ravens played like garbage and lost to Cam Newton. You guys want to ride the calls? We got a full bank of phone calls. 410-583-1057. More from the people next here on the Fan.